Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
I knew it was going to be a good day when she saw she had her red boots on, you know? Woo, girl. My buddy Henry Covington, you know what he'd say in the middle of her playing that? Get it, girl. That's what he'd say. Get it, girl. In the middle of, when someone was playing, he'd always say that. Anyhow, you get it. Matthew chapter 7 is where we are today. Let's pray together before we read the Bible. Okay, let's do that. Lord, thank you that you love us so much you tell us the truth. And we know some people have used this truth to manipulate others and control others. It's been misused, but it's still the truth. And I ask that you'd help us because we know that this is really offensive. We ask for your help and ask that you'd help us all to assimilate this properly into all of our lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read you some difficult words from Jesus. He said in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." You know, you're not going to hear that verse quoted much in our culture right now. The real gospel itself, the real story about what Jesus came to do for us, is offensive. And when Jesus said that it's narrow, the road to life is the gate and the road is narrow, he didn't say it was obscure or that it was complicated or it was mysterious. He said that it's narrow. There's one place to enter into eternal life. Let me read you some scripture. God made a way for us, and it goes like this, 2 Timothy chapter 2. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. That's a narrow gate. Here is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Here's another one, Acts chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. I watch people take a double take whenever I read in public this section of John chapter 14 that talks about Jesus going to prepare a place for us, you know, after this life, and going to come back and take us to be with him and all. But then there's this statement. When Thomas asked him, Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he even narrows it down further. No one comes to the Father except through me. Did you get that? That's narrow. Like I said, it's plain. It's straightforward. It's not complicated. I mean, God, what God has told us is simple. We're the ones that complicate it, but it's narrow. And because of that, it creates some problems for folks, for all of us. If people understand that, it should be offensive. It should be. For instance, Paul wrote, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. We preach, he said, Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, the religious people, and foolishness to the Gentiles, the secular, the non-religious. Okay? To both, stumbling block to one, foolishness to the other. Let me show you, first of all, the offense that this gives to religious people. Been religious all our lives, right? Went through catechism, or as we called it, kiddie prison, right? Or you went through confirmation, or any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, you've done all of this trying to somehow make God like you. Then somebody comes along and says, you know, it's not about the church you belong to. It's about the person you believe in, because only he is the one that shed his blood to have us forgiven, and he was raised from the dead. That's offensive. It's a stumbling block to religious people. These are the people who have knowledge of the real God. And it's interesting what humans do. When we create religion, even some that call themselves Christian, what we're trying to do is just control God. We want to put him in a box. You know, God is wonderful, and I'm so glad he loves us, because he's scary. My friend Steve Brown said, if you've ever stood in the presence of God and not been afraid, you probably have not stood in the presence of God. I can remember, it was the last time I went to the zoo. Scared me to death. I haven't been back. No, I wasn't at the monkey house. That's not what scared me. What scared me is I went in where the tigers were. Debbie and her sister were doing something. We were with a group. And I went into the tigers' cages in that old area. It's probably been redone since I've been there. They had just fed the tiger, and this huge female had this big piece of meat she was eating. And I walked into that area alone, and she lunged from the back of the cage and hit the bars like bam, you know? And then this roar that just about blew my eardrums out. Did you hear about the old English admiral? And somebody came up and said, Admiral, I can't do English. Gaul can do English so well. Admiral, he said, it's so good to see you. Have you been fighting the wars for our great queen? Oh, yes, me boy. I fought wars for our great queen all over the globe. And he said, well, what was the scariest thing you were ever involved with, Admiral? He said, well, must have been, we were hunting the great white tiger in India. He said he stepped into a clearing, and there, standing eyeball to eyeball, is a 14-foot bangled tiger. He looks me eyeball to eyeball and says, and I just fouled me pants. And the guy says, oh, Admiral, I know what you mean. I'd foul me pants too if a big tiger came out and did that to me. He said, no, I fouled me pants just now when I went Did I hear somebody say, oh no, I know. I was scared to that point by this tiger. That's scary stuff, right? Oh, I'm going to move along. Jesus is called the Lion of Judah. He is the King and Lord of all things. And he loves us, and he died for our sins and was raised from the dead, and he is going to fulfill all of his promises. But he's scary. So you know what we do? We invent religious systems to contain him. We'll build a religious system and then claim that we have apostolic succession from our first leader, Peter. And we now have the authority of Jesus. And we'll tell you, as our church, whether or not you're forgiven or not. We'll tell you that the only way that you can receive Jesus is if we baptize you or you take our Eucharist. And they're just controlling. They're trying to keep God in a cage. You know, there's forms of Christianity all over the place, but they obscure the real message by that kind of stuff. So you come to these people and you tell them that Christ is the only way, and they've got a problem. What about my baptism? What about all my faithfulness? Doesn't that matter? What about all this wonderful work I've done? Shouldn't God recognize all of that? Hey, you know something? If we had a jumping contest in here today, a jumping contest to like touch this ceiling, all right? Let's have a jumping contest. I guarantee half of you can jump higher than me because I've developed this anchor, okay? Like I used to be able to get up there, okay. We have this jumping contest in here, okay? Let's have a jumping contest. We can all jump. Half of you are all going to jump higher than me, but I'm going to guarantee you something. Nobody touches this ceiling. Now listen, God's standard is perfection, and none of us can attain it in this broken world as broken and lost people. So we can try to attain it by our own works, but we just get a little ways off the ground. You know, they stumble over their own good works. For there is, you know, there's this statement that Paul made to religious people. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. Oh, man, that's offensive to religious people. Between the religious and the non-religious. There's no difference because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Nobody reaches the ceiling. You ever miss a plane? I hate that when that happens. I missed a connector a while ago. A plane I was coming in was a little bit late, but I thought I had time to grab a sandwich. Thus the anchor. Anyhow, but I mean, I thought I had time, and I messed the times up, and I ended up being 60 seconds late to the door closing. I missed my flight. So I waited, and I waited. But there was this other dude that came in 60 minutes late for his flight. He thought it was another time also. He had it an hour later than me. How could I thought the flight was at... I missed it by 60 seconds. He missed it by 60 minutes. But we both missed the flight. So we try to do our religious stuff to make God like us. To somehow earn the fact that we can be forgiven. That we can have eternal life. Look it. We're already lost. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that might make you angry. But what should make you grateful is that Jesus knew that and came here and dealt with it legally. I told you about the little girl I knew that was in college, and she was driving home. She had the music playing, and she was excited. And this was a long time ago. This was before cell phones, if you can imagine that. Well, anyhow, she's driving home on the Ohio Turnpike, and she got pulled over. Ohio State Trooper. Okay? And at that time, she had to follow the cop to the court. Because she was rolling. You know what it's like. Nice day driving home. A buddy of mine just went down and bought an old Mustang convertible from his uncle. And he was so excited. He put the top down, went out on the expressway, and was rolling home. He went about 10 miles. It cost him $220. Because he had the music playing and the top was down and it was great. Well, she got pulled over. She has to go to the court. And at the court, she goes before the judge. He says, this is how fast you were going. It's $125 or 30 days in jail. She tried calling people. She couldn't call anybody. She didn't know what to do. She started crying. She said to the judge, sir, I got nobody. I've tried calling my mom and dad. I've tried calling my friends. Nobody's answering. I don't know what to do. I forgot to tell you this. She had left her wallet in her college dorm room. She had her driver's license in a pocket. But that was all. So, what she didn't know is that the judge had three daughters in college at that time. So he's a softie, right? And he saw her crying and he couldn't take it. He got up, true story. He got up, took his robes off, put them on his chair, walked around in front of his bench, took out his own wallet, took out $125, put it on his desk, walked back around, put his robes on, and said, "Paid in full, prisoner's released." And she got to keep going because of that sweet old judge. Do you know the judge of the whole universe came to pay the debt that we owed? It's true. This isn't somebody's idea. This is a historical fact that Jesus came, lived, and died. And his resurrection is such a renowned fact. There is so much evidence assuring us that Jesus was raised from the dead. That means it's true. So don't be offended that your good works don't work. Thank God there's something that you can do. You know, I've talked to thousands and thousands of people over the years. It's been a lot of years. But just the thousands of people and the so many hundred that have been absolutely livid that I told them that their religion didn't save them, that it was only Jesus who could. That is offensive, man. It really is. And there's another one for the secular people. Okay, for the Jews, for the religious people, it's a stumbling block. For the non-religious, for the secular, it is foolishness. The way to translate this word is it's idiocy. I had one woman say to me, "How dare you tell me that?" And I said, "Good, you get it then, don't you?" That's exactly what I meant to tell you. We've been friends for a long time. That's exactly what I meant to say. I don't want to offend you, but if that is offending you, that's a good place to start. She was really angry. But my secular friends, there is the dark night of the soul that happens to everybody. Everybody. And you talk about it and it touches everyone. Because all people, even those who are totally non-religious, in the dark of night, lay in the dark and think about themselves, about how messed up they are and how they can't get beyond this stuff and they can't figure out why. I'm going to tell you, there's only one answer to fix that. Jesus has promised for all who trust in him that we will be together beyond this life. You want to know why you ache? You want to know why you get hungry? It's because food's coming. We all just ache for it. And the reason we get hungry is because there's food coming. There's a purpose for the ache of the loss of our loved ones. That is, God is going to fulfill that. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Man, that's going to be a great time. Going to be terrific. So what we try to do secularly is we try to lower the bar for us. Now, you know, we're all messed up. Oh, yeah, all of us are struggling. We say that all the time. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's true, but it's not okay. And since it's not okay, that's why God sent Jesus to deal with that which was not okay. My little buddy Tommy is going to get married in a couple of weeks. He's going to be here on Sunday afternoon, the 25th. The wedding is going to happen here. Tommy. I remember we were standing on the side of the house when his dad told me that Tommy was on his way, that Ann was expecting. And he showed up, and he's so funny. He would. What we loved about Tommy is that he was just totally unpredictable. He liked being naked when he was little. And so he'd come outside, and he'd look around. He was like, you know, three. Come out and look around. Go into the garage, and it was like, poof, he comes out on a big wheel, naked. I don't know what it was. Crashed me up. What a great kid. I promise not to say that at his wedding. But he was just so funny with that. But they had one day he said, "Hey, Tommy, I'm going to show you I'm dunking the basketball." I said, "He's this tall. You're dunking the basketball?" Yeah, we're having a dunking contest out here. So he had all the neighbor kids over there. But his dad, Steve, had taken the 10-foot, had an adjustment on it, and brought it all the way down. Even I could dunk that. You know what I mean? So we lower the standard is what I mean. But with God, the standard is still the same. It's not just he says, "Well, it's okay, don't worry." It's there is a judicial offense here that has to be dealt with. And Jesus came and dealt with it all. Look around at our broken, chaotic world. Nobody else has the answers for this. Nobody else. I've looked. I know you have too. And so I guess The best thing I can say, there was this time when the Apostle Paul was traveling. He was in Athens, and they took him to a place called Mars Hill, where he talked to the philosophers of that day, the great minds of that day. Let me just read you what he said, because he tells them something here that I think everybody needs to hear. Paul stood up at the meeting and he said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, for I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I'm going to proclaim to you." Boy, that's a tricky move. You know that? What a brilliant guy to do that. He quotes, and I quote him, I mean. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, quote, 'We are his offspring.' Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past," now get to this point, "in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to all men by raising him from the dead." And some scoffed and some others said, "Man, I got to listen to this more." Interesting. See, what he brought is this. We got to answer. Someday we have to stand there. Someday. Okay? And you can try to do it all on your own, and it doesn't end well. You can run through the atheists I talked to. They won't consider this, and then they say, "We're just going to march off into the darkness of death bravely." How dumb is that? David Wilcox wrote, "Tank is full, switches on. Night is warm, cops are gone. The rocket bike is all her own. It's called the Hurricane. She told me once it's quite a ride. It's made for, there's this place inside that if you're moving, you can hide safe within the rain. She likes to run away, but there's no place that she can go. Nowhere where the pain won't come again, but she can ride and hide in the pouring rain. She rides the eye of the Hurricane." Tell the truth. Explain to me. Where'd you get this need for speed? She laughed and said, "It just might be the next best thing to love. Hope is gone," she confessed. "And when you lay your dreams to rest, you can get what's second best, but it'll never be enough. She likes to run away. There's no place that she can go, nowhere where the pain won't come again. But she can ride and hide in the pouring rain. She rides the eye of the Hurricane. We saw her ride so fast last night, racing by a flash of light. Driving quick, the street was dark. Saw the car she thought was parked. Blocked her path, stopped her heart, but not the Hurricane. She saw her chance to slip the trap. There was just the room to pass and back, but then it closed the gap. She never felt the pain. She likes to run away, but there's no place you can hide. Nowhere the pain won't come again. So she can ride. She rides in the pouring rain. She rides the eye of the Hurricane." Let me tell you, blasting through your life trying not to pay attention to this is the most dangerous thing that you can do. You know what Paul told them? God calls everyone everywhere to repent. You know what that word means? To change your mind. It means literally to turn around in your mind. It's time to change your mind about this. Ever been to London? I haven't either. Oh, but some of you have, right? John's been there many times, I'm sure. Tommy's been there too. There is this cute thing about Londoners. At least back in the day, my brother told me about it when he was studying in Manchester. He told me the Londoners, they all seem to wear three-piece suits and little hats, and the guys, that is. And they all have watch chains with a watch in their pocket, right? And they all go by Big Ben, and they take out their watches every day and adjust their time to Big Ben, because Big Ben's always right. Every day. You know, your timepiece isn't working real well. You know, you're not in sync here. You're off just probably a lot. And it's time to repent, change your mind to what's true. It's for all of us. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Boy, that's not a happy statement, is it? And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. The few who find it, they're the ones who just put their trust in Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's true. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Lord, I know this is a lot to digest today, and I ask that this simple seed will take root wherever you put it. Thank you, Lord, for everybody here today and for the fun we can have together. And thank you for the truth of your word. We are grateful to you. Lord, I ask that you would invade the life of everybody in this room. And Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you you didn't let us go. Like Max Lucado says, you'd rather die than live without us. And we're so grateful for that. Bless and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.